United Nations has dedicated the 2010 World Water Day to improving water quality for healthy lives. Could you highlight some of the issues and regions that we are looking at here?
Yeah, I'm glad the focus is shifting to quality because in spite of there still being some access and quantity issues, I think it is important to highlight the quality issues today because across the country there are some at least 100 million people who are affected by various pollution problems of water, there are chemical contaminants such as arsenic and fluoride that we know about. There's also high iron content in some of the areas around Bihar, etc. There is excessive salinity around the border, the Kutch region, and of course the coastal regions where we are seeing salinity ingress. So these big quality issues, and all over the country we are seeing our water sources also contaminated with nitrates, with agricultural pesticide runoff. We have a genuine crisis of quality on our hands. And unlike quantity, because when we have a lack of quantity, obviously it's a crisis. This is a silent crisis because people cannot tell the crisis of quality just by looking at water. So I'm very glad that the focus is moving to quality.
Okay. The second question, it has been well established that the water crisis is going to have the worst impact on women. As the users and protectors of water, how do you suggest South Asian women can jointly contribute in ending the water woes of the region?
It is very true that water is a very gender issue, since women are primarily responsible for household water especially and for ensuring adequacy of cottage livelihoods water. It is very important to include women in the decision-making process. In terms of cross-border conflict in South Asia, I think women also need to have a voice at the negotiating table. But within their own countries, I think South Asian women need to find the political space to be able to give their concerns of water a priority in terms of allocation, in terms of better governance, in terms of the fundamental right to ensuring adequate water and sanitation for themselves and their families. And definitely that is a critical political issue today. Yeah.
Do you agree that water quality is a priority for India? What about water scarcity, given that 167 out of India's 593 districts have been declared drought-prone in 2009?
Yeah, the question, because we are prone to droughts and floods, and especially in terms of sufficient quantity of water, we really need to learn better how to manage our water at the local point. I mean, we need definitely to understand better how to have conjunctive use of water. How do we integrate the use of our ground and surface water? And of course, in the drought-prone regions, there is no choice but to do some firefighting measures in the years of drought. But we have to address this issue in a long-term sustainable manner. And there are many kinds of things that need to be done. Obviously, we need to collect water when there is rain and store it well. There's enough local water wisdom in India that needs to be revived. And it's definitely a challenge when we have successive drought years. So let's just hope that this year we get good rains.
Okay, the fourth, your organization Aragyam is leading a significant number of projects on water. What is Aragyam's strategy and perspective in terms of long-term solutions towards sustainable water infrastructure?
We believe in two or three principles on which we operate. Aragyam is primarily in the space of household level water security. So really our work is not so much about, say, water for energy or water for agriculture. Our focus is primarily household water security, security for water for life, for basic cooking, washing, drinking, and little bit for livelihoods around the house. So when we look at, and of course sanitation, so when we look at that, we think that a lot needs to be done to spread the awareness about sanitation and then to enable households to have their own sanitation facilities. Some of the surveys we have done is showing gradually an increase in awareness of the need for sanitation and its impact on health and its the way it affects health. So that's a good sign. We are seeing that we have moved by several notches in terms of sanitation access. Of course, much more needs to be done, and Arghyam is well focused on it. In terms of the water side, we believe in decentralized solutions as far as possible using the principle of subsidiarity. Water is local and we need to find local solutions, and using groundwater, rainwater and surface water judiciously, it is not impossible to make every single household in India water secure, at least for their basic needs. There are obviously some policy issues, there are some terrible discrimination issues out there because of our very structured institutional discrimination against women, against certain castes. But I believe the only way is to keep up the pressure, to build the quality of the demand on public services, and to engage with government to provide the solutions that it is mandated to in terms of water security. So that's how Arghyam works, together with NGO partners who are at the grassroots working with the people. We also work very closely with government, because government seems to have the resources, it seems to have some manpower, but it seems to require deep, long partnerships, and we try to engage with government so that schemes work better on the ground, public money is spent better, and eventually that at the household level, water is made available.
Okay. The next question is, could you tell us about Ashwas, that the Karnataka survey that you conducted, and what it achieved?
Yeah. So, government is mandated to provide basic water and sanitation facilities, and now increasingly it is seen as a function of local government, that is a third tier government, panchayats and urban local bodies. But so far the capacities and the genuine financial empowerment is not moving to the third tier yet. That's going to be a long process. At the same time, people are not quite aware, citizens are not quite aware what the local government is supposed to do, how much money is coming for what schemes, etc. In Arghyam, we believed that doing a thorough citizen survey, a citizen audit of water and sanitation services, and we did it across Karnataka and 17,200 households, will give a very good sense of what people are seeing of the situation. We also included a survey of the Gram Panchayat's own services and its own public spending, and we found that a lot of things needed to be improved, both in terms of quality, in terms of source sustainability, in terms of sanitation access. And then we went back with the report cards to all the Gram Panchayats that we had surveyed and gave them, we didn't just do a survey and walk away, we took back the citizens' own reflection of their situation back to them and are helping the GPs to make local level plans to improve the problems that the citizens reported. So it's a kind of a closing the loop of doing a citizen survey, a kind of satisfaction survey, understanding the problems and seeing collectively if it's possible to move towards a solution. So we believe that these kind of citizen surveys are a powerful tool to understand where public service delivery is, what, and sort of use baseline from one survey then to go back after a few years and see whether the situation has improved and whether the process of survey itself, the process rather than the outcome, becomes a political empowerment tool.
Okay, sixth question. What, according to you, is the role of the communities on the ground? What is the overall contribution to the global water question?
I didn't understand the link. What is the role of communities on the ground?
On the ground. What is the overall contribution to the global water question?
I'm not quite sure of the question, but let me say that today all of us have become aware. All communities used to hold water sacred and used to use it relatively wisely. over the past 100 years or so, because of various technological advances, etc., the water is supplied through taps and pipes, and we've forgotten our connection with the source of water. Most people in villages, at least there is some connectivity, but certainly the urban denizen has lost his contact with where water is coming from and why it is sacred. I think especially in cities, people need to reconnect with the real value of water, not just the price and cost of it, but the real value of water. And I think in villages too, because there is so much sectoral competition on the use of that same finite water resource, I think all, whether it's industry or it's agriculture or it's local communities in villages or in urban areas, understanding that water needs to be conserved and that water needs to be protected from pollution, I think that awareness is growing. And as that awareness grows, crisis situations always lead to force people into solutions. And I think we are heading for worse times. So I hope, our wisdom, people's wisdom will prevail, that we will conserve water, that we will use it judiciously. And when we plan the expansion of all our infrastructure projects for economic growth, we will understand the critical role of water at the base of the economy. So if we understand locally that water must be conserved, must be used in as little quantities as possible, and if we design all our supply chains for maximum water efficiency, I hope we can avert any kind of major crisis.
A new concept of greening toilets is catching up.
Greening toilets
is catching up in the developed as well as the developing world. Could you tell us how it works and how it benefits communities in adopting financially sound and environmentally sustainable ways for healthy living?
Yeah, I think we really need to look at this question of sanitation. So far, the mindset has been, sanitation engineering has meant that we take human waste and use water to flush it, and we push it out either into our water bodies. Even in the developed world, much of human waste which is mixed with water through the flushing and sewage systems does not necessarily get treated. So what it is doing, it is just going and contaminating all the water bodies, including the oceans. And with the high nitrates, with the high bacterial contamination that results, we have a problem on our hands that I don't think people understand the dimensions of. Sustainable sanitation, greening the toilet, means that instead of allowing human waste to go off into the water bodies and the underground water, we collect it at source. And there are many ways to do that. You can have composting toilets, you can have a separation of urine at source and feces at source. So there are various ways to do it, ecological sanitation. By doing that, not only are you preventing human waste from endangering the water sources, you're also capturing the nutrients from human waste, because human waste has many important ingredients that can go into the soil as fertilizer, as manure. So it serves the double function of preventing water pollution and allowing natural fertilizers to go back where they belong, into the earth's soil. And we need all our best minds and design people to figure out how we can get low-cost and convenient green toilets so that both these problems can be resolved.
And the last one, could you share a bit about your moment of inspiration that led you towards pioneering collective collaborative work on water-related issues?
Well, I don't know how important the moment of inspiration is, but as it happened, sometimes it happens that when you're searching for an answer, in a quiet moment, you seem to get it. To many people, it happens when they're walking. To other people, it happens when they're taking their showers. So actually, I set up Argyam Water Focus in that kind of moment of inspiration. But it happens to all of us, so it's of no very great significance. But I'm very glad that Argyam started work on April 3rd, 2005 in the water sector, because until then, there was no single Indian foundation that was focused on this very critical sector. And we have found that there is just so much work to do that I'm very glad that Argyam has a focus on water.
Just to add to this question, ma'am, like you had a background of journalism, and from there on you moved to into water issues. So what made you get into it?
Well, I was pretty much an activist for, you know, through my college days. And even journalism is always a form of activism of some kind, certainly a political space. But after that, for many years, I was working in the primary education sector.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supporting initiatives in health and microfinance and in the environment. But when I came into some money because of the Infosys ADR, I wanted to put all of it into the social sector, and I was researching areas to work in. In education, there are already plenty of NGOs and they're doing a good job. So I was looking for some niche where a focus was needed, a strategic focus was needed. And as I told you, luckily we started working in the water sector. So that's how we came into this.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. And like this interview, where do you want us to mail it? The same mail ID that was given to us?
Rohini@argam.org.
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you very much. Bye bye.
Thank you so much, ma'am.